ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Don't cry, victim to me. Everything we are and used to be is buried and gone. Now it's my turn to speak.
The views expressed on the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
Welcome to Entitled to Overcome, Exploring Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. And now, here are your co-hosts, Dave Fleming and the Monty Man.
What? What? Where's Dave?
Dave's not here.
And welcome to Entitled to Overcome, Solutions for Life. And today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio. Roger McDermott is with us. Hey, Roger.
Hello, hello.
Yes, indeed. Dave is not. Dave, where are you, Dave?
Hi, Dave.
Dave?
I hear him, man.
Dave.
Hey, 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 hey.
Where are you, Dave? We don't know. Actually, I do know, but he's not here. So we're doing this. We're going forth anyway, because that's what Dave would want. It sounds like he passed away or something, doesn't it? He's alive and well. He's got other things going on, so we're doing this show anyway. This show is topic is the workaholic. Is that you? You probably don't think so. Or maybe you are one of those people that know it, and there's problems arising from it, but you're not going to do anything about it because that's where you get your self-worth. Maybe. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But before we do, though, I got to introduce you to this great book, Roger. This is a great book, How to Survive a Garden Gnome Attack. So I got it. This is Defend Yourself When the Lawn Warriors Strike, and They Will, by Chuck Sambuccino. This is great. This is just... Okay, I want you to, if you're watching on YouTube, I hope you're watching on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, sear this image into your mind. See that little evil guy right there? Okay, yes.
I see him.
Yes, okay. So the introduction to this book is really eye-opening. Keep reading if you want to live, it says. Call them what you want. Garden gnomes, lawn ornaments, little evil outdoor statuary hell-bent on world domination. It doesn't matter. What does matter is that right now they're hiding in plain sight, pretending to be symbols of merriment and goodwill. But secretly, quietly, while pushing diminutive wheelbarrows and brandishing miniature flower pots, they're planning home invasions all over the world. Perhaps they're in your backyard right now, and you're staring at one while reading this. Wait a minute. Does that gnome look a little closer to the patio door than yesterday? Fear not. Now that you know they're planning to strike, you're much safer than you were 60 seconds ago. The next thing to do is learn everything you can about how to protect yourself, your loved ones, and your residents from these malicious garden dwellers. Do you know how to stop a gnome from tunneling under the house? What is the best, really only way to combat several gnomes at once in close quarters? How to interpret their communication? Would you recognize the signs of a gathering horde or an impending infiltration? If you answer no to any of these questions, it's a good thing you're reading this handbook. Indeed, Garden Gnome Attacks, Protecting Yourself Against Them. Now, I am a fan of garden gnomes, as many people know. I have almost 200 of them. But according to this book, I'm probably not going to live till tomorrow, to see tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe we'll read an excerpt
You're
from this.
Very dangerous place, Monty.
Chuck Sambuccino, Defend Yourself When Lawn Warriors Strike. Check it out. Yeah, there you go. There's my book recommendation. Yeah. So before we get into this topic of workaholic, I'm sure we got an icebreaker.
And now for a mindless holiday icebreaker. Here we go. Yippee!
Yes. Okay. It was a pretty unnerving event when a boy, then 11 years old, spotted a 44-year-old burglar stranger in his Ohio home. Terry Trent, described high on bath salts, had broken into the house, but fortunately he didn't mean any harm. What he actually did was put up Christmas decorations and lounge around. He lit candles, hung a wreath on a garage door, then kicked back and watched some TV with the volume turned all the way up. No one disclosed what he was watching, but we're just going to hazard a guess that it was a Christmas-themed movie. The 11-year-old boy saw that Trent was messing around in the house and called his mom, who was actually next door at the time and a neighbor's. Trent was described as polite and said to the child, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. I'll get my things and go now." Okay. I've heard some pretty scary stories about bath salt consumption, and they weren't pleasant like that one. But in this case, he just wanted to decorate somebody's house. Well, here's story number two. She stabbed her man with a ceramic squirrel. A 44-year-old North Charleston, South Carolina woman was not about to let the holidays pass without stocking up on brewskis. Helen Williams unleashed her wrath on her husband when he came back home without any beer. Williams allegedly beat and stabbed her man with a ceramic squirrel because the stores were closed on Christmas Eve, meaning this was last year, by the way, meaning that there would be no beer to guzzle. The victim was found on the floor covered in blood, and Williams apparently explained that he just fell down. The man said that Williams attacked because he didn't bring home the beer. Williams was charged with domestic violence for stabbing her man in the shoulder and chest with a ceramic squirrel.
Wow.
I wonder how he's doing this year. Did you bring?
That's a good question.
Did you bring home the beer, Fred?
Yeah. I'm guessing there's a garage full.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Enough shenanigans. We'll be back right after this with the topic of the workaholic. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Well, that was mindless.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Next is an important message from the Salvation Army. And then back to our show.
Everyone, I'm Kenny Chesney. Wherever good can overcome, that's where your contributions to the Salvation Army go. Please consider donating to your Nashville Salvation Army this Christmas season, where together we're doing the most good.
Ching, 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 anyone can tell they're doing the most good, helping those no one else would with the Salvation Army bell.
Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming.
You're listening to Solutions for Life Today, a presentation of Take 12 Recovery Radio.
Santa Claus is coming in a boogie-woogie choo-choo train.
Yes! Gets me moving, Roger.
You are moving.
I am moving. Well, welcome back to Solutions for Life Today. Dave Fleming, unfortunately, it was not able to be with us this week. So this is our last show before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, indeed. Our closing song, we have another Ray Stevens song to close out the show. We'll tell you what that one's about when we get to that point of the show. We have partnered up, by the way, with K-Love Christian Radio to bring you 24/7 modern as well as tradition Christmas songs. Visit our website at take12radio.com, and at the very top of the page, you will see the K-Love Christmas music banner. Just click on it, and you'll have 24/7 streaming Christmas music for those of you who like that sort of thing. Now, I totally recognize some of you cannot stand Christmas music, modern or traditional. I'm sorry. You're just a butthead. I love Christmas music. I sing Christmas music all year long. I don't mean every day constantly, but you know, I'll be walking through the kitchen and the weather outside is frightful, my dear. You're so delightful. I mean, it'll just come out of my mouth and it'll be March. You know, Roger, you ever do that, or are you just not made that
actually,
way?
Actually, Monty, not. No, I don't. I just don't. It's the gnome effect on you, Monty.
It is.
Yes. It's on your head. It's around your neck. It's all over your garden and in your house. Ladies and gentlemen, Monty is not well, but that's why we love him.
Keeps my bald head warm. I'm brandishing. Is that the term? My grandpa sweater. Do I look like a grandpa? I think I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I kind of like it. So I've been a grandpa now.
Oh, you are a grandpa. Yes. So it's fitting. Yes.
For a little over a year now, I've been a grandpa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing my grandpa sweater. And my kids used to call it my old man sweater. But now it's just a grandpa sweater.
Yeah, grandpa's a little better than old man.
Grandpa's a little better. Yeah. And I have my my fully beaded gnome necklace that I promised I would wear on every show through December. So here we are again, right? These are friendly gnomes, though. Trust me.
What about the other 200 that you have?
I don't know. I'm going to have to sit down with them and have a chat. The workaholic. Okay. So reading from Dave's favorite devotional book for today's date, this is December 18th, The Workaholic. Now, this is from Proverbs 23:4. I had never read this before. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. So do not overwork yourself to gain all sorts of material things because of your own understanding. Stop it. Basically what it says. It goes on to say, men find much of their reinforcement and praise from how well they perform at work. Many men even find their self-worth wrapped up in their professions and jobs. This is why it is not unusual to find many male workaholics. Leon had built a large company and had made millions of dollars. He had almost every material need and want taken care of. He had established himself as the leader in his industry. Yet, he realized he was not happy. His wife and children had suffered a lot of neglect as he worked his way up to the top. Only once he had it all, quote unquote, did he realize that he had gained something that could never completely satisfy. By the time Leon read this verse, he had recognized it in his own life. The world tells us to make the most money we can, even if that means working 12 to 16 hours a day or more and not taking time out to rest. God tells us that we need to have our priorities straight. Leon's investments in his health, wife, and family were bankrupt. He had a great deal of changing to do later in life. And then the prayer is, Lord, give me wisdom to establish appropriate boundaries on my time at work. It's interesting, Roger. I did a kind of a deep dive into workaholism and alcoholism several years ago when I was doing my recovery mentor training for the state of Oregon. And what I discovered was a lot of the brain scans and a lot of the studies they've done comparing workaholics with alcoholics they were almost identical. A lot of the symptoms that came forth because of workaholism, you could almost say, "Are you sure this guy's not an alcoholic?" Right? Yeah, very interesting. Have you ever been accused of your priorities being out of whack because you put work before everything? Do you get the kind of rest you need? What's your story when it comes to this kind of thing, Roger?
I was 100% a workaholic. One of my good friends, who's a pastor for 40 years, recently retired.
Yeah.
And he used to talk to his congregation about his best friend, Roger. And he would tell him that Roger was an alcoholic, but his best friend, and now he's been sober, blah, blah, blah. And he'd tell the story. And what he would say was that he thought everybody should do the 12 steps. So what he referred to himself was an ick. So you take away the alcohol, he has all the other issues going on.
Uh-huh.
And when I got sober, I had all the other issues going on. I never wanted to lose at anything. I wanted to be number one at everything. I would lie, cheat, and still do that. I had no balance. Balance and moderation were not in my life. So, yeah, I would run away from my responsibilities at home to work. So it was an excuse to not be a father, a husband,
oh,
a friend, a dad, because I'm too busy, you see. I'm an important guy, and I'm way too busy, and I have too many things to do. And don't you know I have to pay the bills? And it's really, really sick.
Yeah.
And I'm not anymore. A job is a means to an end to pay your bills and to do things that you like to do, but it's not my number one priority. My number one priority is to serve God and help others.
Yeah.
But I didn't know I was when I first got sober.
So workaholism can show up in several different areas of our life, right? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be our career.
Correct.
And this is one of the dangers. Oh boy, I'll get myself in trouble again. But I'm going to say
it. I hope so, Monty. Go ahead.
I'm gonna
get yourself in trouble because
this is one of the dangers of service work within our 12-step fellowships.
Yep.
You know, every God-given gift has incredible benefits, but because we're human, there's also pollutants to them, right? So if you have the gift of giving, that's wonderful, but watch out that because the human pollutant to that might be control. Here's $100 for your ministry, but I'm going to tell you how to spend it, right? We've probably all known people like that. Maybe we've even done that, you know. I certainly do that with my kids, you know. Here's the keys to the car, but this is the only places you can drive. It's stuff like that. But I've watched people who, and I'm not poo-pooing service work. I think it is a marvelous thing. I think it is an important element in a person's recovery and the stability of their state of being recovered. Being of maximum service to God and the people he puts in your life in the form of serving others. I believe in that. I'm involved in that. But if we are leaning on that, the service work itself, and not on God for not only our sobriety, but for our sanity, right? What happens when we get burned out from the service work and we become service workaholics? And I've watched it over and over again. People go into meetings, people doing service work. I mean, they never say no. They live by the philosophy of if you're asked to serve, you're not permitted to say no ever. You always say yes. And I've watched them burn out and go back out and drink or use again. I've seen it.
I think that happens frequently.
Frequently.
Yeah.
You know, and yet I still hear, well, the solution to the alcohol and drug problem, that, you know, what is that quote? There's nothing quite as effective as, you know, one alcoholic helping another alcoholic, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, one thing that'll keep you sober is to work with another.
Sure.
Alcoholic.
However, if that isn't tempered with some wisdom, you can fall into the trap of being consumed by service to the point where you become sick.
What if you get sober and you substitute all the time that you took away from your family and your home life,
mm-hmm,
by being of service to others? That's not what the book's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's God, family, and then others.
Yes.
You don't substitute, you don't sacrifice your family or sacrifice your time with God to be of service to others.
At the altar of service work.
Right.
It's true. One of the wisest things I ever heard, and it, boy, I'll tell you, it caused a gasp in the room. There was probably about 40 people in this particular 12-step meeting. And somebody was sharing about, they were really having a problem with some personalities in that particular group. And this guy interrupted him, which was unusual for that meeting. He just interrupted him. He says, "Maybe you're going to too many meetings, dude." And I heard that and I thought, wow, what a concept. Right? Because the idea is, you know, 90 meetings in 90 days. And, you know, and a lot of people brag about, well, I did 640 meetings in 90 days and you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's not in the big book.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah. And that's a court order thing that came from the courts and
right,
seeped into the treatment world and then back into the rooms. There is something to be said about consistency and all that kind
yes,
of thing.
But
this guy was in, this guy that was complaining, he was in a meeting morning, noon, and night for years. And it's like, wait, how do you become a productive member of society if you're hiding out in the 12-step rooms? You don't.
Great question.
Yeah. So
can
you do too much of this stuff? Absolutely you can. Too much of a good thing? Sure.
My motto used to be, if it's worth doing, Monty, it's worth overdoing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But is it?
No.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
But everything that I did prior to meeting God and being sober, I ran on self-will and I overdid everything.
So Leon, in this story, in this devotional, he sacrificed his family at the altar of work, and he lost it all. And
I did that too.
Do not overwork to be rich. So so being rich, that's subjective. I mean, some people want to be rich, not as far as money goes, but self-esteem and praise. And gosh, what a good boy you are. What an amazing company you've built. What, you know, power is very tempting, right? And
right.
And so people will work and just throw themselves into these things so they can be built up and praised. And, you know, there's that aspect of it. Or just self-worth itself. Maybe they don't even need praise. It just makes us feel good that we've accomplished something. Is there anything wrong with that? No.
No.
But if that's where we're leaning, boy, if that's
the,
where
the thing on the what the thing on the wall, Molly, it says first things first.
Yeah.
That comes from Matthew 6:33.
Mm.
It says seek ye first
yes,
the kingdom of God.
Then everything
and all
else.
These other things shall be added unto you.
Right.
It's get your priorities right.
Yeah.
And if your priorities with God's right, then he will guide and direct your thoughts. The book tells us to do that upon awakening in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to guide and direct my thoughts and how can I be of service? But that's not that doesn't mean that you don't take care of your family and you don't do the other things that you need to do
right,
to be appropriate, to be whole. And work's just a part of it. It's just, that's how we pay our bills. It's not our identity. AA's not my
right,
identity. I'm a child of God.
Yes.
AA is my place where I fellowship, just like my church.
Amen.
I fellowship, and
yeah,
I find opportunities to be of service, but it's not my most important priority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
My first thing is God. So when they asked Jesus the two most important commandments, the first thing he said is, love God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That's first. And then second, love others as yourself. That's second. And then all the other things come along with it.
Yeah.
But first things first.
Yeah.
My identity is not my work. That's where I go to collect money so I can pay my bills and be of service to other people or support other ministries or whatever.
Right.
But it's not who I am.
Yeah. So why do you think, I don't know that it's more with men than women. Maybe I'm not sure, but maybe because the workforce is heavily populated with men over women, still is probably. But why do you think men get stuck in that? I mean,
I think I don't really know why I was an alcoholic. I don't really know why I was a workaholic. But what I know is that I wanted to achieve and be top gun at virtually at everything I did. And I really would, as time went along, I would lie, cheat, and steal to do that.
You know, I wonder.
I wanted the attaboys, but then I had false humility at the same time. I wanted to act like I was really humble.
Yeah.
It's sickening. I'll tell you what, it's an evil, evil, evil disease. And you workaholism is at the, you lose your identity and you don't care about your fellow workers, your family, or anybody else. It's all about me. It's the same thing as alcoholism.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
it's an addiction.
That's why it looks very similar. I wonder if we were to talk to Dr. Amen from the Amen Clinic, who's a brain specialist, if he wouldn't say that there is an actual chemical high that we receive when accomplishing things that we work really hard to do. And we actually,
sure,
there's a payoff, right? People do things for a reason. People never do something for no reason. You know, Aunt Martha goes, well, you know, Freddie over there, there's just no reason he should be doing that. Yeah, there is. There's always a reason. You know, it may not make sense to us, but there's a reason. And I'm thinking there is probably a chemical release of dopamine.
I'm guessing. I'm not a clinician, but I'm guessing yes.
Yeah. And we are human beings. That you don't have to be an alcoholic. Human beings are very attracted to the high.
Feel good junkies.
Feel good junkies. Absolutely. There's even people that are attracted to the low. It's a form of high. And what I mean by that is there are people that will attach themselves to negative drama and get off on it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that would rather feel depression than joy because there's a payoff of some kind, you know, and I'm sure workaholism, there's a payoff that's chemically involved as well. So what do we do? I mean, you know, is there a Workaholics Anonymous? Probably.
I'm guessing yes.
There's over 300 different 12-step societies out there. So probably, and I'm thinking that if one were to apply the principles, the spiritual disciplines of the 12 steps in their tendency to be workaholics, they would probably do well. I think with me, I was very, I don't know that I would be clinically assessed as being bipolar when it came to my work. When I had my sign, years ago, I had a sign business in Lebanon, Oregon, and I was down there all the time, and I would put off certain jobs that were harder than others, because when I was right up against the clock to get that sign done, I did my best work. I became very manic with it. And I was one of the few hand painting sign painters in the state of Oregon. There was one other guy and there was me. Because the business had gone over to the vinyl sign company and we just couldn't keep up with that. But there were people that wanted hand-painted signs, airbrush signs and that kind of thing. And so there was a couple of us. And I am telling you, brother, I created some pretty amazing pieces of artwork, but it was always right up against the clock. It was like I got off on that. It there was a payoff on it, and it felt really, really good. You know what I mean? And yep. But I was down there until 2-3 in the morning. And Marcia would say, you know, when are you coming home? She'd call me down at the shop. When are you coming home? Yeah, I just got this one more thing to do. I used to be that way with email. You know, we moved all the computers. Marcia's got a little laptop that she works on once in a while in the house. But we moved all the computers out of the house. So all the computers are in the studio. Because, and that's really good for me, because every time I'd walk by the monitor, I was checking my email. I was getting, there was some sort of dopamine rush checking my email. Didn't you just check
like your... It's just like all the social medias now.
Yeah.
Everywhere in Southern California, you can't drive anywhere that they're not on their phone.
Oh,
they're
my gosh.
Literally on their phone driving. Everybody is doing it. And
it's
and
crazy.
If they're at home, they're on a pad, or they're on their phone, or they're, you know. I use my phone for work and for ministry. You know, for people can get a hold of me.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, right now while I'm here talking to you, my phone's gone off 4 times. And, you know, it's just like, I'll get to it as soon as we're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But trust me, back in the day, I don't know what I would have been trying to do those things, doing both at the same time and not doing either one well. And then you say, I'm really good at multitasking. No, you're not.
Oh, yeah.
You're obsessed. I'm not good at multitasking. I'm obsessive compulsive.
Yep.
And impulsive altogether. Compulsive, obsessive compulsive. Oh, my gosh. And now it's funny. I have to laugh at myself because those are part of my character defects. I'm
sure.
Full of them. I am full of
sure.
them. But the workaholic thing is I'm really try to be really against that.
Yeah.
I spent most of my life being that guy.
Right.
Just like you. I thought that if I put it off till the last minute and when I'm up against the time, I thought I did my best work.
Well, yeah, but
I probably didn't, but there was a payoff that I accomplished what I was doing. And I all, you know, it's like, I got to get this done. And then when you get it done, you went, God, that was really good. But it wasn't really good. It wasn't as good as if I had planned and done it in bits and pieces or whatever. Maybe it was good, but it's the weird thing, that payoff that we got.
Yeah. So my office that I had out at the Adult and Teen Challenge Center, my boss used to shake his head because me and the intake coordinator, we were both very much alike when it came to how we kept our desks. You know, neither one of us, we wouldn't leave our shift until our in basket was empty.
Right.
I just wouldn't. There's no right. way I am walking out of here with something in my in basket. Everything's got to be done. All the education assignments have to be assigned. All the book reports have to be graded. You know, everything for the day, you know, every progress report. Oh God, I hated those things. Every progress report had to be done. And out of that inbox, I wasn't going home. Yeah. And my boss would go, you guys are nuts.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So Wikipedia says a workaholic is a person who works compulsively. A workaholic yeah. experiences an inability to limit the amount of time they spend on work despite negative consequences such as damage to their relationships or health.
Yeah.
Wikipedia comes up with some crazy stuff, but that's pretty accurate.
That's spot on.
Yeah, it is.
Spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. So the compulsivity of workaholism can be very, very dangerous. Yeah. So is that you, listeners? Are you one of those? Are you nudging your significant other? See, that's you.
I'll put it to you this way. I'm a recovered workaholic. Just
there you
like
go.
I'm a recovered alcoholic.
Yeah. Amen. Amen to that. Indeed. Well, yeah. I wonder how many people are listening that if they would really admit it, their priorities are messed up when it comes to to their work. And if that is you, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is take12radio@comcast.net. It's T-A-K-E, the number 12, radio@comcast.net. I wonder about this time of year, too, if people don't fall into shopaholic. Yeah. So, you know, my wife told me, she goes, you really like pushing that purchase button on Amazon.
Don't we all?
Well, you know what? It was interesting because I can't say what it is because it's a gift. But Marsha bought a gift on Amazon for our daughter-in-law. And, you know, Amazon's smart. These guys are smart. Marketing geniuses. Because once you buy that gift, then everything associated with that gift starts showing up.
Yep.
Right? So if you buy a pencil sharpener, for instance, electric pencil sharpener, right? Every form of pencil, eraser, stationery, everything is going to show up. And you're going, oh, that matches that. Oh, I like that. You know, they would really like that too. Click, click, click.
And every time that you go on to order anything, all your previous orders come up and remind you that you've ordered these in the past. And isn't it time to order again?
It's time to reorder.
Yes, it's time to reorder. They're brilliant. I smile at them, actually. I mean, you know, God bless them.
Okay.
It doesn't mean I have to reorder if I don't need it.
See these? It's time to reorder your what are these called? Post-it pads, right?
Your sticky pads, yes.
It's like, how do you know I only have three left? How do you know that? Oh, my goodness sakes. All righty. All right. Good show, brother. Thank you so much. So as promised, where is it? Oh, there it is.
Ray Stevens.
Ray Stevens. Yeah. So I think it was last week's show. I said something to the effect of, I'm not bothered by people not saying Merry Christmas. Ray Stevens is making a point here that even though I said that, I really love what he says in this song. And, you know, if you're offended by this song, good. Okay, closing out our show this week. Bye, Dave, wherever you are. Thank you, Roger, for jumping in. Roger, you have a very Merry Christmas, brother.
You do the same.
Yeah, you bet. And listeners to all of you.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners. God bless you all.
Absolutely. I'm going to try very hard to feature some couples in recovery next year, starting in January. So be looking for that, everybody. Okay, here's Ray Stevens with his song, simply Merry Christmas.
I don't say season's greetings, and I don't say happy holidays, although I guess that's all well and good. I always make a point to say Merry Christmas, just because I think that we should. After all, what's it all about in the first place, if not to celebrate the good news that Jesus Christ was born to save all who would listen? So listen well when someone says to you, Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Let the star of Bethlehem shine from atop the tallest tree. Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
But I won't raise my voice in protest if you don't agree. For we're all free to choose a faith to please us. And just in case you're wondering, I'm with Jesus. So Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas. You know, some would say that I'm not politically correct. Yeah, and they misquote the Constitution as a reason. but it's not freedom from religion. No, it says freedom of religion. And that's what we should celebrate this season. So Merry Christmas. Let the star of Bethlehem shine from atop the tallest tree. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And I won't raise my voice in protest if you don't agree. For we're all free to choose a faith to please us. And like the founding fathers, I stand with Jesus. So Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
Merry Christmas.
Mr. Ray Stevens, I couldn't have said it better myself. Listen, from all of us here at KHLT Recovery Broadcasting, sponsor-to-sponsor recovery publications, and the Take 12 Recovery Radio shows, from all of our contributors, for everyone that helps support the ministry of Take 12 Recovery Radio, to you, our listeners, we are praying that you have a peaceful and serene Merry Christmas. God bless you. And remember, because of God's great grace, you are entitled to overcome.
This has been a broadcast of KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.